We are at the midway point of our celebration of the 12 days of Christmas. The season of Christmastide, which began on Christmas Eve and continues through our celebration of the Epiphany next Sunday, January 6th. So while the world around us moves on from its celebration of the holiday season, with a little stop for New Year's, we keep this season for 12 days. And this follows our 4 weeks of preparation during the season of Advent. When we gathered on Christmas Eve, we heard the familiar story from the Gospel according to Luke. And it strikes me that that story has so seeped into popular images of Christmas, those iconic images of shepherds in a field keeping watch over their flock, of the chorus of angels appearing in the night sky and entrusting the message of the birth of the Savior to the shepherds, of Mary, Joseph, and the Holy Child in a stable with the lowing and very docile cattle gathered around. I wonder if the account from Luke has become so familiar that it might be challenging for us to see it with fresh eyes and new understanding. So I can't help but think that it might be a gift to us today that we read the prologue to the Gospel according to John. These words offer us another take on the birth of Jesus, and maybe they might lead us into a deeper and more profound understanding of the mystery of the Incarnation. Scholars tell us that John's prologue may very well be an early Christian hymn, and certainly its language is lofty and beautiful. These words open John's Gospel and articulate where the longed-for Messiah comes from, tell us about his history and origin. It is, in effect, John's Christmas story, though it could not be more different from Luke's. It is short on images that grab our imagination, let alone our emotions, and it is full of some deep theology. But the soaring language of the prologue's words, I think, can't help but lift our hearts and our minds to things eternal. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God from before time. In fact, John says, the Word is God. Everything that exists came into being through the Word. To me, this sounds much like that first creation account in the book of Genesis. For in Genesis, God speaks all creation into being and pronounces everything that is made to be good. John is offering us a new creation account, telling us of a creation recreated. In the Incarnation, God comes to dwell with humanity in the person of Jesus and enters into human flesh and existence. The creator of the universe becomes a little baby, the most helpless and vulnerable of creatures. God does so to bring humanity, and in fact all of creation, into new life. In the Incarnation, God transforms the creation into a new creation, redeemed and set right, set in accord with God's loving purposes. God stoops to put on human flesh that humanity might be lifted to the divine life. God puts on humanity so humanity might put on divinity. And so God comes to us in the baby of Bethlehem that we might be lifted above the evil and sin of this world, lifted even into the very heart of God. God comes to lift us even above death itself, setting us free for the divine life of the Trinity for eternity. In the Gospel today, John also tells us that God comes among us as the light entering the world. This light is life. It is a light that the darkness cannot overcome. It's a light that is stronger than the forces of evil and wickedness in this world. It is a life stronger than the powers of death. For us in the Northern Hemisphere, the celebration of Christmas comes in the winter, in that darkest, coldest time of the year. Light is scarce, the days very short. And we celebrate Christmas just after the winter solstice as the days imperceptibly, but yet surely, begin to lengthen. Just as the light begins to come back, to grow, we celebrate the coming of the light of God into the darkness of our world. It is, I find, a wonderful symbol of this season that we hang the lighted Star of Bethlehem in our yard during Christmastide. For these 12 days of Christmas, it reminds all who see it of the hope and promise of the light of God come into the world. It reminds us of the beacon that is God's light, a light that enters into the fullness of human existence, into the very heart of all that it means to be human. For the light enters into our joys as well as our sorrows. The light provides meaning and comfort, even the very presence of God in our life. And so our lighted star is a reminder to our neighborhood of the light come to us in this holy season. And through the years, neighbors have told me how much they appreciate this light, how the star to them represents the promise of God. John's prologue reminds us that in the incarnation, God ushers in a new age, an age when the old order is done away with. In this age, the status quo is overturned. The power of money and military might fades. The poor, the hungry, the oppressed find hope in the promise of God's reign. And the rich are set free from slavery to their wealth and material goods. This light come into the world is the Word become incarnate. And we are called to walk by this light, the light that illumines our path, that shines to all places of violence, hatred, and division, and offers the love, compassion, and healing of God. And so we are invited by the Holy Child to walk in this light always, and to reflect this light by our words and our deeds to a world that knows so much hatred, brokenness, and estrangement. For in the Word made flesh, God comes to dwell with us. God is no longer remote and distant, no longer far away. God is now with us right where we are. God is with us in human flesh. We can gaze on the face of God, but now we live. And God is as close as our breath, as the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And God is also as close as the bread and the wine that we receive in this Eucharist. When we take the bread into our hands, we hold the Creator of the universe, the Eternal Word, the baby of Bethlehem, and Jesus of the cross. We hold in our palm the one come among us who comes to transform us, to redeem us, to set us upon the path of God's love, the one who seeks to lead us into the divine life of the Trinity, the life of light and love. The Eternal Word becomes incarnate in the baby of Bethlehem, and we are forever changed. And the world is forever changed. In this child, we are lifted to the fullness of life that God desires for us. And we are invited to share life with God, a God who comes to us in love, who seeks to dwell with us, that we might live with God for eternity. In our first lesson today, the prophet Isaiah offers an image of our new life in God through the incarnation. Isaiah tells us that God clothes the people with the garments of salvation, covering them with the robe of righteousness. God's people become a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of our God. The creation is made new as the earth brings forth shoots and a garden springs up, for God comes to make all things new. God comes to us in the person of Jesus to lead us into new life, even into the divine life of God. And in this life, all of creation is pronounced good, and all people are pronounced beloved of God. May we claim our high calling and always live walking by the light of God, reflecting the light to all, living as the beloved children of God we already are. By the light of God, may we love others as God loves us. Malcolm Guite is a priest of the Church of England and a poet. I have quoted his poems before. And in a collection of sonnets for the liturgical year, the one for Christmas, I think, captures the cosmic implications of God coming among us. It is called On the Edge. Christmas sets the center on the edge of town, outbuildings of an inn, the fringe of empire, far from privilege and power, on the edge and outer spin of turning worlds, a margin of small stars that edge a galaxy itself light years from some unguessed at cosmic origin. Christmas sets the center at the edge, and from this day our world is realigned. A tiny seed unfolding in the womb becomes the source from which we all unfold and flower into being. We are healed. The end begins. The tomb becomes a womb. For now in him, all things are realigned. Amen.